Hello, this is Jim Zuris, podcast host and operator of SysRep, that's Senior Information Strategies for Real Estate Professionals. And today I'm with Chad Gordon. He is an attorney specializing in real estate fraud, and personal injury. Hello, Chad. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Jim, for inviting me.
Tell me about your practice and services you provide for your clients.
Sure, Jim. I've been an attorney for over 16 years. I primarily focus in real estate law, real estate fraud, personal injury, and even financial elder abuse. I'm also a real estate broker as well. So even in the course of our discussion today, I might be putting my attorney hat on and my broker hat on.
That's good from the real estate agent. Perspective.
Elder abuse is a big problem in our country. When we talk about elder abuse, the mind often wanders to horrific examples as the physical, emotional, and regrettably sexual. There's another type of abuse that is just as repugnant and sometimes difficult to uncover, and that's financial elder abuse. And in fact, the National Center of Elder Abuse notes that approximately 1 in 25 financial elder abuse victims never report the abuse.
Wow. Now, define financial elder abuse.
Well, financial elder abuse is actually codified in the California codes, in Welfare and Institutions Code. And I won't bore you with all the legalese and the numbers, but it's codified in the Welfare and Institutions Code as it occurs when a person does any of the following: takes the property of an elder for a wrongful use or with the intent to defraud, or assists in taking the property of an elder for a wrongful use or with the intent to defraud. It's such a huge problem in our country right now. Those who are 65 years and older are the fastest growing segment of society in the United States right now. These people have often worked very hard for what they have attained and accomplished, only to find out that as they get older and perhaps more frail, that others seek to take advantage of them, especially in the midst of a bad economy.
I think it's common knowledge. I know I've talked to seniors. They're getting stuff in the mail all the time. They're getting calls. I think probably even beyond the baby boomers you described, the older, they call it the quiet generation,
right?
Those folks. Or a lot of them still have landlines.
True.
So guess what? They're getting all the robocalls.
That's right.
That type of thing where you don't get that on a cell phone.
Right.
I've heard it many times that they're like scam targets.
Well,
would you agree with that? That's really what we're talking about, isn't it?
Unfortunately, because, you know, sometimes that older generation are more trusting of people. My departed grandfather, he would sometimes get things in the mail, and even though I think deep down he knew that it wasn't true,
right,
and it wasn't right, he would still run it by me. He's like, Chad, what do you think of this? And there was always that glimmer I'd see in the back of his eye, like, God, I hope he tells me this is legit, you know?
Yeah.
He really wanted to.
As a reverse mortgage specialist, I see this. Sometimes folks are just lonely.
Yes.
So anybody that will talk to them,
correct,
suddenly they'll maybe let their guard down or open up because they're lonely and hear somebody listening to me. And I'm sure these scam guys know that.
We'll take them into their confidence.
Exactly.
Yeah. Take them into confidence. Now, once you even just get an iota of that confidence or just some similarity between the two, talking about your family or where you live.
Yeah.
And there's such a human need to connect.
Right.
And often as we get older and as our friends fall away or family members become distant, that's a tough thing to battle against, is that human need to connect.
From a real estate agent's perspective, we're dealing with seniors. Tell me about what they might see in terms of elder abuse, a little bit about maybe if they have some kind of responsibility, if they see some. The real estate agent's perspective, what should they be looking for and looking out for?
I would preface my specific comments about us, putting my broker hat on now, us as real estate licensees, with just a general statement saying that the mark of a great generation is how they treat their most vulnerable in their society. I believe that's true for us as American citizens, but it's even more so for us as licensed professionals. I believe that as professionals, we have even greater capacity and true responsibility to ensure the rule of law is followed and that our citizens and frankly, our fiduciaries are protected. Now, what are some of the things that we can look out for as real estate professionals? We're sitting down in a listing presentation, or perhaps we've already got the listing, and perhaps now we're in the course of fielding offers, and now we're starting to notice some things. Typical warning signs or red flags, might be our fiduciary, that elderly family member, maybe kind of seeming out of it, a kind of vacuous stares, not really participating in the discussions, nervous. Perhaps when we're talking about a contract, maybe they're always looking at one family member nervously all the time. And with that, the segue of beware of very aggressive family members. Oftentimes, regrettably, a lot of the financial elder abuse does not come from strangers, but actually those who are closest to us.
Sure.
Unfortunately, in our families.
Well, we see that in the reverse mortgage arena. A lot of time, that's a family member that's involved in the decision.
Mm-hmm.
right up front is I say, okay, you're looking at a reverse mortgage. What do your kids think? Have you talked to your kids about this? We get three answers. I even have videos about this. That no, it's none of their business. Usually blankety blank business sometimes. yes, I've talked to them and they own their own home and they're very comfortable. They support the reverse mortgage, or else no, they fight it. They're against it. Yet at the same time, I might be talking to the children first. Is a child or some family member the source of the elder abuse?
Use your gut. Use your basic instinct. But even more so, putting my lawyer hat back on here, is realize some of the exact laws that we are under as licensed real estate professionals. For example, in that welfare and institutions code, a section I mentioned that talked about the definition of financial abuse, there's a subsection B of that code, which also states that provides that a person is considered to have assisted for a wrongful use if they take the property and they knew or should have known that the conduct would likely be harmful to the elder. Mm-hmm. Now, why is that important? What do you mean, you know, should have known? Well, we are licensed real estate professionals, and as such, the public and the law holds us to a higher degree of responsibility. We have a fiduciary duty. I know that term is put out there a lot. We have a fiduciary duty to our principals. This is the highest relationship that can be created in the eyes of the law, and the breach of this relationship can lead to serious legal liability and monetary damages. And in fact, for us as real estate professionals, our fiduciary's duty is codified in the California Civil Code 2079, which basically defines our duties to our own clients, a fiduciary duty of the utmost care, integrity, honesty, and loyalty. We should also behoove the lessons of some case law that has been out there recently that strengthens that fiduciary duty, even more so when our principal is in a vulnerable position due to age or limited capacity. The language of some of the case law is, when the principal is in a vulnerable position due to age, limited capacity, or dependency, the fiduciary may owe a heightened duty of care. That can be, you know, scary to us as real estate professionals, but you know what? I don't look upon it, putting my broker hat on, as scary per se. I look upon it as a challenge and as a rule that I'm proud that I have to uphold as a licensed professional in the state of California. There's a reason I have to get a license. There's a reason why that law is on me. And I take pride in protecting my principles.
Excellent. Can you give me a case or two that you worked on that involves elder abuse with a real estate element to it?
Well, putting my attorney hat back on now.
Man of many hats. Same hats back and forth, let's say.
Yeah. I can't talk about a specific case, but I can talk about some things that I have seen. Common hypothetical. You're sitting down at a listing presentation. The grandfather who owns the house is pretty mum about everything. Another family member is dictating what the listing price will be. But the grandfather has just kind of a blank stare, mumbling, you know, whatever. He doesn't seem like he's there. And your gut tells you that something is wrong. Trust your gut, your conscience. Trust your gut, and because your conscience, your wallet, and even your licensing will thank you later. What are the steps you should take? If there are other family members there, I believe that you owe the due diligence to investigate further. Talk with the grandfather on the side, away from some of the family members. Try to get a barometer of exactly where they're at. If, for example, this family member has a power of attorney, while that may seem, oh, great, well, that's legal and official, I'll let them do whatever they want, I would argue, and this is the lawyer hat in me, I would argue that even with a power of attorney, if you want to be absolutely safe as a real estate professional, you want to look at that power of attorney and scrutinize it. When was it signed? Was that power of attorney just signed yesterday? Are there other family members who are kind of on the periphery and not really making eye contact? Investigate that. Mm-hmm. Investigate it.
You stated perfectly. It's your gut. Usually that first inclination, that first feeling that there's something wrong.
Right.
Listen to that little voice, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and sometimes even I would say a real estate professional might even have the best of intentions. I mean, as a lawyer who represents plaintiffs in financial fraud and real estate fraud, a lot of the time, I would say maybe 80% of the time, my defendants, they knew what the heck they were doing, and they deserve to go down.
Sure.
You know, but sometimes too, you got to be careful because you may have the best of intentions, but you were negligent. Cross your T's, dot your I's. I'll give you another hypothetical. An individual is looking for assistance in helping his parents sell his house, or sell their house, I should say. He explains that his parents are bedridden. They're very, very, very ill health. But he can be the middleman in all of this, and he can take the documents to them, just get it done. He seems like a nice enough guy, seems straight up. You give him the listing agreement, and he brings it back signed. Any problems?
You didn't meet the client.
Yes.
And you, who knows who signed that listing agreement, right?
That may sound obvious to some of us, but I have seen instances.
Hopefully, Yes. The little voice says something's right. not right here.
Listen to Jiminy Cricket in the back of your head.
Well, Chad, what can people do to help prevent elder abuse?
I would say generally be vigilant, have an open dialogue with those members of your family who are getting up there in age, who are not all there. Just have an open dialogue. Also, another thing to do is to look towards a licensed legal professional and perhaps putting the assets in a trust. When the assets are put into a trust, it's much more difficult, not impossible, but it's much more difficult for other people to take advantage. There's one last thing I'd like to share with you. It was about a couple of weeks ago. I was sitting at a diner, like a little Denny's or something like that, late at night. I was sitting at, the long bar there at the front of the diner. I couldn't help but notice the corner of my eye, I witnessed there was an elderly gentleman that was sitting there eating soup, and about two spaces to the right of him was an infant toddler with his mom, and they were eating something else, like something out of a bowl. It struck me. I was watching the infant. He couldn't help himself, and so the mother was taking the spoon and was feeding the infant because he couldn't do it himself. What kind of struck me is I was watching this elderly gentleman. He obviously was suffering from, I believe, Parkinson's or whatever, where his left hand was so unstable and shaking all the time that he had to take his right hand to help to stabilize his arm and to feed himself. And I thought to myself, it's kind of interesting, the circle of life, how it all comes back around, how we need a lot of help in the beginning and we need a lot of help in the end. Yet here in the beginning, sometimes there are often more people for us in the beginning of our lives with that mother helping feed her infant. But yet here we are near the end of our lives
where we often have to
fend for ourselves. And I would hope that we as Americans, but even more so as licensed professionals, that we would be that guiding hand for those people in our population, but not only be that guiding hand, but earnestly want to be that hand.
Excellent. Very good thought. Now, Chad, if one of our agents listening to this podcast has questions or wants to get in touch with you, you would be available for them, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Well, give me your contact. We're going to have your contact information sure. on the website, but just in case someone's in their car or whatever wants to contact you now.
Sure. My website is gordonlegalgroup.com. That's Gordon, G-O-R-D-O-N, legalgroup.com. And you can always reach me direct via my phone at 562-743-7137. And my office is in downtown L.A., but I serve all of Southern California.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate your information and coming on the podcast.
Thank you.